I like the Greek version where he just has a bad job.
Just like, you get the underworld. It's great. He's down there.
Fuck. Man, shit, I don't want this goddamn job. Your job sucks, bro.
Hey, yo, Persephone.
Talk to your boy.
Yeah, you come
get me a better gig, man. This sucks, man.
Who fucking cares what your mom? Fuck that mother. Fuck that mother. All right? She's just a pain in the ass. She's cold to everybody. You get it?
I like
the goddess of winter. You get it?
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve. And Ryan.
I heard that we have some righteous anger that somebody wants to get off the chest, so please, Steve, let me step back and let you take the stage there, brother.
I realize I might get in trouble for this, but I was at Disney this week, and this past weekend, 3 days, and my dad, he's super old, right? He's pushing 80, right? Can't walk around, right? So they have carts, you know, that they can
Little jazzy scooters.
Yeah,
little jazzy scooters.
They're fucking great. There's a ton of them, but they're first come, first serve.
Right.
So if you don't get one, you're not getting one, basically. Yeah, you got to go rent them from like a third party, right?
Right.
Meanwhile, so they gave him a wheelchair. It was fine, right? He's not too heavy, so it's easy to push around, and he was fine with it for the most part, right?
Right.
And a lot of rides are ADA and all that shit. Anyway, long story short. These fucking people, I saw so many people who just have no business being on these fucking scooters, dude. Like,
bro, have you never been to Publix or Walmart?
They get the scooter. Absolutely seen it there, but you don't see it as egregiously done as at what's called. I'm not talking about fat people, right? And I say fat with all due respect. Some people, you know, people have overweight for different reasons. But I'm talking about, you know, the people like that are obese, like that need the damn car. That's fine. Right,
right, right.
But when I see you and it's like clear that you can walk, like it's obvious, or at least it looks like it is, it bothers me a little bit. But I mind my business. The thing at Disney that pissed me off, though, right, is that I saw people multiple times just get out of the scooter and just like walk around, like walk over to the shop, and they'd be in there for a little bit, then they'd hop back in the cart.
Yeah.
What is that? What do you have, myasthenia gravis? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, I feel the same way.
Right? And then here's my pop in this old fucking wheelchair, and it's like, give the man some power at least, you fucker. This dude was like 33 years old. He looked in perfect shape. He got up, started walking around, drove the scooter. I saw him like 3 times. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
Oh my God, I was so annoyed. I mean, I didn't let it get to me too bad, but I just want to get that out there. Fucking Disney needs to get a handle on that.
I really hate when I'm at like Target or Publix or something like that, and I see somebody that is in a handicapped spot, and they pull in, right? And they're driving jacked up F-350, right? They're just kind of hopping out.
Clearly
and just, like,
can't be handicapped, by the way, because that's like 12
you have
feet
a handicap, but you have a handicap placard, right?
Yeah, because
so my problem is
wife.
You're either using somebody else's handicap placard, or you're just full of shit, because those spaces are for physical disabilities.
Yeah,
people
I feel
that
like
cannot the, walk far. And
I feel,
if
I
you can climb up into an F fucking 950, right, that's jacked up fucking 800 inches off the pavement, bro,
the
suck my dick.
Was an
you're, not, you're not eligible. You're not eligible for a fucking handicap placard. I'm sorry.
The F-950 was an Air Force disability card. It failed.
Somebody told me, well, maybe could've Ryan, maybe they have an invisible disability. And I'm like, if they have an invisible disability, they don't need a fucking handicap placard now,
yeah,
do they?
Well, that's the thing. Is like the other side of the argument is they could have like a breathing thing or something like that where they can only walk short distances, and I get that, but it just crossed the border of like believable at Disney, it was happening too frequently. There were so many, and here's the deal, dude, I'm fucking 42, I work out 5 days a week, I'm in pretty good shape, I'm overweight like everybody else, but who the fuck cares, I still work out. Right, I try to eat right about 5 days a week as well. Give myself a little break, and by the second day at Disney, I was fucking feeling it. My feet hurt. I was tired and shit. My knee was bothering me. Like, I get it. You know, it's a lot of walking. But fuck you. Like, why do you have this fucking car?
No, God damn you need it. To give it to somebody who needs it.
Yeah, where I put my cart, though. I'm going to Haunted Mansion. Just walking through. Just gets in line. No big deal. I will say this about Disney. It was pretty cool that, like, a lot of the rides had the ADA, like, or is it ADA? Yeah, ADA accessibility.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Like, we just they kind of, like, wheel you on, and then you just have your own spot on the ride and stuff, so you can do everything the same way. But we actually managed to get him out of the wheelchair and go on Star Tours, and I got him on Rise of the Resistance at Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Look at 8-year-old man just like, is that an AT-AT?
Just starts screaming.
Oh, my God. Nah, he was good. He can't be booked. He just doesn't care. You're like, Dad, was that fun? He's like, yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, that's the most you're getting out of him. Anyway.
Well, speaking of the ADA.
speaking of assholes who steal carts meant for the people who have physical disabilities. Who are we talking about
today? That's exactly what we're talking about, Steve. We're talking about demons.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
My favorite. I love it.
What demon, though? There's a lot of them.
We're just going to talk about demons in general, sort of like their evolution within, mainly within like the Western world, mainly within
its origins. Read straight out of the pseudo-monarchy of Demonium.
Well, if you're good, Steve, we're going to go through the entire King Solomon. We're going to talk about each demon.
All of them? Oh, dude, yeah, it's going to be a 75-part episode. You know what's great, too? This is episode 138, which is, Glenn Danzig, Misfits. Let's go. Yeah.
Bro, do you know how long this episode would be if we went through every type of demon,
I freely
historical.
Admit that I am obsessed slightly with demon lore. I think it's amazing.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I have several books on demonology. I've read a bunch of them.
I have watched The Exorcist.
They're absolute horseshit. There's no such fucking thing. The entire system's way too complicated to possibly exist. It doesn't fucking exist. The specificities of that are required in order to interact with these fucking demons. And then every time you ask somebody, like, well, okay, well, so let's say I was going to do this. Like, I never would, but let's say I was going to have this ritual and fucking summon Baal. Okay, well, what do I need to do? Well, you don't want to do that by yourself. Because you gotta cast two or three other things first. Because if you don't, then he'll kill everybody. You know, it's just like, this isn't Diablo 2, all right? Just give me the fucking instructions already. I just want to see
what happens. He's not about to drop a fucking Wind Force, okay? Just let me...
I think that the greatest evidence against belief in a god is trying to summon a demon. Just go do it. Nothing will ever happen.
You know, a lot of it was just a lot of that demonology stuff was just created so like guys could just have sex with multiple people.
Fuck yeah, that's basically what it was. It was just pussy grabbing, you know?
Because that's how Aleister Crowley like took over the Golden Dawn. Was like, he just came in there and he's just like, Aleister... it's all sex stuff. Just like, there's like, he knows the hidden lore.
Aleister Crowley was all about getting plugged by like young dudes. Like, he was a very interesting gentleman.
Yeah. No, that the Secret Agent 666 is a fantastic book. But what the fuck was I gonna say? Oh, never mind.
All I'm gonna say about Aleister Crowley: power bottom. That's it.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say. Okay. So I was at.
reminded you.
Yeah, power bottom. That got me. So I was at MegaCon, right? My wife was selling arrows behind the booth. Some guy walked by, and he had on a Thelema shirt, like a shirt that clearly had all that said, like, on the back it said, do as thou wilt, that shall be the whole of the law, which is Aleister Crowley's, like, main commandment.
Yeah, right.
So I said, oh, that's cool, are you into Thelema? And he's like, he looks at, all right, so here's the deal, it's a heavy-set dude with a goatee and glasses.
Okay.
He stands up.
He's a fucking meme.
Is he a goon?
Did you ask if he stares himself?
He might be a goon, yeah. He used his spine to stand up straight. Like, you know, like arched his back, right? And then looks over the rims of his glasses at me and says, indeed I am.
Jesus Christ.
And then him and his wife walk away. I never saw him again.
They weren't giving you. We noticed you at the end of the bar, like energy.
Well, you know what it is that's ego, right? Because he's upset because he's never summoned a fucking demon. He just got fucked in the ass by Aleister Crowley.
But like I mentioned too, in joking, and it's actually pretty true, is that a lot of the stuff about like demonology and what we generally in sort of the Western world, especially Christians, sort of interpret as like the devil and like the demons and all that stuff, like all of that is not in the Bible, and it was all mostly created like well after even the early Christian period.
If you're a Christian in the United States and you believe in demons, you also think that they are based on the same kind of spiritual lore that shit like The Conjuring is. Yeah. Like that's what you think of demons, is The Conjuring.
Praise be unto him. But, you know, it's kind of like the Hadith, right? The saying. It's not in the Quran, but a huge number of Muslims follow these teachings. Right. That have nothing to do with the core of the religion, or they might be like somewhat related, but they go pretty far afield sometimes, and not exactly the same, but similar, where it's like not in the main corpus, but it's like this is the cool shit here.
Right. Some of that stuff is also in like Judaism. There's the Talmud, and like the Talmud is also very similar in that it's sort of like. Sort of like just a collection of like writings that are not in like the Hebrew Bible. It's just sort of like the Hadiths. It's sort of like the extra stuff. It's the stuff at the back of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
it's the extended edition.
Yeah, I think Hadiths are like it's not it's not the Quran. It's just like an oral tradition.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's some arguments about like what. Oh yeah, and very much like the Bible and stuff, which as we've talked about before, is that like the Bible was pretty much just like they decided what the hits were that they were going to put on the best of album, and then like the Apocrypha is just like the B-sides that got like thrown to the side.
Oh, it's more it's like that's probably the best way to put it. It's way more complicated than that, but it's probably the best way to put it. Dan McClellan is the guy I always defer to about all that stuff because he's so good about it, but he's academic like theologian. Or a biblical scholar. He's on Instagram and TikTok, but fantastic. Fantastic.
If you relate it to music, it's very easy because you could just say the Talmud is the Torah extended edition. You could say the Bible is the greatest hits. And you could say the Quran is like the OG version, right?
Praise be unto him, yeah. Aslam, yeah.
Well, like Aslam, what? What in...
So there's also a type of spirit verse in Jewish mythology that often gets like associated with being a demon, but it's not actually like considered in the same class as a demon that comes from like around the 16th century.
Yeah. It's Benjamin Netanyahu.
It's called a Dybbuk. Usually they come up in sort of like, Eastern European, like
yeah,
Jewish
I know an Eastern
culture.
European Divac is Vlade Divac. He played for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, Vlade Divac, right?
Hello, I am basketball guy. Hello, my beard is never quite shaved. Hello.
Yeah, so speak English. Yes, go ahead.
But there, because you've possibly heard of like a Divac box. Which is like used to contain
D-I-B-B-I-K, right?
D-Y-B-B-U-K, but it's a
D-Y-B-B-U-K, right?
Yes. But it's because it's like transliterated from Yiddish, because Yiddish uses the Hebrew alphabet, but it's like a combination of German and Russian and some other like Slavic languages.
That schmuck tripped on my Divac box.
But a Dybbuk is essentially like a soul of a dead person that's like sort of like forced to wander the world.
Why?
Just because of like the same normal ghost stuff, like unfinished business stuff like that.
God.
And they're generally considered bad because in Judaism there's sort of this idea. It differs from sect to sect and stuff, but there's like in the Kabbalah, it's called like the Gilgal, And it's sort of like a concept of reincarnation.
You're just making words up now, buddy. the Dybbuk box and the Gilgul, right?
But it's generally because like Jews don't have an association, like they don't have like a heaven or a hell. Like the Jewish equivalent of heaven is that your body like becomes one with God, or your soul becomes one with God.
3 millimeters of traditional lox with a schmear of cream cheese. I just watched a thing about lox, so anyway.
and then like hell is like a separation from God because they don't really have like hell.
Yeah, it's completely different. Like, we actually learned that in Catholic school.
But the Dybbuk is basically like somebody's soul that's just in purgatory, right? And that the Dybbuk box is just what the box they haunt, right?
Unfinished business crap. Like
it's worse than purgatory.
If that was the rule,
that'd be horrible.
There would only be ghosts. There would be no actual people in the afterlife. There would only be ghosts. I don't know a single fucking person in the world that has finished all their fucking work.
Like, it would be the Good Place.
It would be absolutely fucking... You would die and immediately be suffocated like you were at a fucking soccer match in England in the 90s, right? You'd be up against that fence and they'd be fucking just smashing you because it would just be ghost meat everywhere, bro. Okay? Ghost meat everywhere, bro. It's my Jersey, like, Halloween core rock band, by the way. Fuck off. Fucking unfinished business. The fuck? I got some unfinished business. If let me tell you something. If ghost power is based on unfinished business, I am going to be a fucking demon lord. Like, it's going to be amazing.
I'll be to the right hand of Baal.
You didn't. You finished like 6 things. What the fuck?
You started 852
your
things.
Video
you finished
games
3 of them.
Alone. Your video games alone are going to put you in at least room A25.
Like, my Steam library that's not even installed would put me in the third ring of hell.
Steve's the Ghostbusters are looking. A droplet of ectoplasm because he finishes everything. This guy finishes everything.
They're gonna look at like your unfinished like list of like books, movies, games.
Oh god, dude! I have so many. And then when the advent of the smartphone, I have cultivated a fucking legion.
But it's kind of interesting too, which we'll get to, is that like even in ancient times, like Jewish scholars were pretty much like, yeah, I don't think this stuff actually exists.
Sure.
But within the Hebrew Bible, they mention two classes of demonic spirits. These are Sarim and Shedim. Shedim appears in two places in the Hebrew Bible, and the Sarim, which it means like a male goat, are mentioned once in Leviticus 17:7, and it's sort of believe that it was a recollection of Assyrian demons, which usually come in the shape of goats.
There you go. Almost always, they're just stealing from Assyria.
Mm-hmm. They also might be a metaphorical symbol for life-threatening animals.
By the way, you guys ever get high and you restart your iPhone like right when the edible starts kicking in, and then you go to pick up your phone for a second and you hit the button and nothing happens and you freak out for a minute that your phone might have died, you know?
Because it's in the middle of restarting.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I should probably restart my phone. I don't think I've restarted in like 3 weeks. Anyway,
once a week, bro. That's what the NSA recommends. I'm serious. Because if there's a kernel-level exploit or something like that, it usually just requires that you keep the phone on. So if you restart it once a week, you pretty much avoid any of that. Isn't that crazy?
The more you know, do.
That's the field I work in, folks. Not demonology, which it would be much more preferable if it fucking worked.
You could be like that cool guy that works at the British Museum who specializes in like Mesopotamia.
You could literally be like Ed in the Rain Warren, bro.
Oh shit, dude, what's his name? I know his name, bro.
I forget his name, but he kind of looks like Alan Moore.
Frankel?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like that's Victor Frankel. That's the World War II Holocaust survivor, but something like that. Sir Irving something. Yeah, because he played Ket on the game of Ket, the game of Ur.
Yeah.
You know, he played that on YouTube like 10 years ago. Guy's still alive, too, I think. God bless him.
Though the Shedim are not believed to be pagan demigods, but might also be foreign gods. Because they are, they're considered evil because they're not associated with the Hebrew God, Yahweh.
Right.
Okay.
They often appear in scriptural context of animals or child sacrifice to non-existent or false gods. Because remember, that's that sort of that weird thing, because the thing about Judaism is that it comes from a like a polytheistic religion originally,
yep. Uh-huh.
And that the followers of Yahweh, which I believe the common theory is that it was a sun god, and that they were like a cult that only worshipped the sun god, and that like the story of them coming and like coming back and like genociding the Canaanites,
yeah, mm-hmm.
is that they were themselves from Canaan, and that they were kicked out for being like this sun cult of the sun god, and then they just came back and like killed everybody and moved back in.
Yeah. All right, we're back now.
I once got kicked out of a mall for going up the escalators, like up the down escalators.
Oh my god, here we
go. I got back in.
I mean, that's like a high crime in New Jersey.
I just walked back in. This is in PA. It is like martial law for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's this fucking guy going up the escalator? I'm trying to go down to Sears, pick me up some tools, and I can't because this guy keeps going up the escalator. That's all I got. You said the name of the ghost is Shedim?
This type of demon is called a Shedim.
How do you spell that?
S-H-E-D-I-M, which you've probably seen before.
Shedim. No, you know what? I got a good Polish joke, though, that I was told.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Polish guy.
I'm here.
Told me by a Polish guy, you know. Dzień dobry, pan, sorry. Yes, a woman walks into an apartment store and orders... wants to get a Polish woman, sorry, walks into a department store and wants to get this pair of underwear. And so she holds the underwear up and puts it in front of the lady who's working there and just goes, Siedem osiem, right? Which means 7/8. Okay, like 7/8. That's the size she needs.
Right.
The lady goes, I don't know what you're saying. You know, she doesn't speak any English. She goes, ugh. She stretches them out, like kind of tries to show her that they're too small or too big, and says, "Share the motion." And the lady at the front just goes, "I don't know what she's talking about." And she grabs her manager, and her manager comes over, and the lady says, "Can I help you, ma'am?" And she goes, "Share the motion." And the manager goes, "What's the matter here? Yeah, you shit them, you wash them." Oh man! Rest in peace, Sherlock.
A number of different diseases and ailments were often ascribed to demons, particularly those that affected the brain, and those of an internal nature, such as catalepsy, headache, epilepsy, and nightmares.
See, I think that's where a lot of demon stuff comes from, mental illness.
Yeah, a lot of like stuff like that, like a lot of stuff with like the Fae, comes from that.
You know, yeah. Look at your average schizophrenic and then picture like someone who has a poor diet, no education, and like just horrible living conditions in general. And then picture them having like even like a moderate to close to the worst form of schizo.
Right.
That's a demon. That's what they call a demon.
There was also a demon of blindness, a Shibiri, which means dazzling glare, who rested on uncovered water at night and blinded those who drank from it.
What?
Okay. That's just how they got you not to drink from the urinal, you know?
In the Jerusalem Talmud, notions of Shedim are almost unknown or occur only very rarely, whereas the Babylonian Talmud, there are many references to Shedim and magical incantations, probably most likely from the influence of local, like, Babylonian culture.
Okay.
Because, like, Babylonian culture is, like, really big on, like, just the different gods and demons and all sorts of other things. Oh, like, the fact that, like, Dungeons & Dragons is still, like, heavily mining from, like, Babylonian mythology, because, you know, like, Tiamat, the many-headed dragon in Dungeons & Dragons, is based off an evil deity from Babylonian Mesopotamian religion.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I only know because of Final Fantasy, but yeah.
So as mentioned before, the Talmud after the Hebrew Bible is the central text of Rabbinic Judaism and the primary source of Jewish religious law, Halakha, and Jewish theology. The Talmud normally refers to the collection of writings named specifically the Babylonian Talmud, compiled in the 5th century by Rav Ashi and Ravenna the II. There's also an earlier collection known as the Jerusalem Talmud. It may also traditionally be called Shas, a Hebrew abbreviation for Shisha Sadarim, or the Six Orders of the Mishnah. The existence of Shedem in general were not questioned by most of the Babylonian Talmudists. Because of, like I said, the rise of the...
Those are real, trust me. Let me tell you, bro.
Okay?
There's no way that it's fake, because this guy's, you know, it matches right up with what we've been saying. I've been saying, bro, that puddle over there in the corner, you drink out of that, you're going to go blind, because there's blind devils in there.
I saw this video on TikTok. What the fuck is a TikTok?
It was a TikTok challenge, and it was for Jews only.
because of the rise of the influence
of Tony Hinchcliffe. That sounds like something Tony Hinchcliffe would come up with, that fucking moron. Did you guys see that?
Oh, he's terrible.
Did you see did you see what he said at the Trump rally?
No, what did he say at the rally?
Oh, dude, that's what I was talking to you about earlier, Steve. He was at the Trump rally in New York. This motherfucker said he went up there and basically started talking about black people carving watermelons, and then he started going into some skit about how Puerto Rico is basically a giant floating garbage patch.
Why all the Puerto Ricans are now mad at Trump?
Yeah, because he literally had a comedian who's one of these Roganite, like, you know, people who think that they can just say anything and then just say, I'm a comedian. You know, and it's like, yeah, but you're not funny. Like, you have to be funny. You can't just go up there and say N-word and then fucking leave. Only Trump can do that and be somewhat funny, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, this fucking guy, the stuff he said, just like, oh my God. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're going pretty mask off. Not that they had much of a mask on before.
I know, right?
They're going hard into the racism paint in the lead up.
Yeah, it's not good. You know what I'm saying? It's not a good look.
Yeah, I'm just hoping we get through it relatively unscathed as a country.
Because of the rise of the Babylonian Talmud over that of the Jerusalem Talmud, late rabbis in general. What?
I said I played that expansion. Because of the rise of the Babylonians, that was a good expansion.
They took as fact the existence of Shedem, nor did most of the medieval thinkers question their reality. But rationalists like Maimonides and Sadia.
Maimonides. Yeah, I found out about him because I went to the hospital in New York. Maimonides. I had to install some stuff there.
But
I was like, what the fuck is a Maimonides? And I started looking it up. You know? No fucking clue.
And Sadia Gaon and other thinkers as well denied their existence and completely rejected concepts of demons, evil spirits, negative spiritual influences, and attaching and possessing spirits. They thought
Maimonides, and there's no ghosts. Good night.
They thought the essential teaching about them and similar spirits that they should not be an object of worship and also not a reality to be acknowledged or feared. Their point of view eventually became mainstream within Jewish theological thought.
That ghosts, that demons are not real and not to be feared.
Yeah, that they're not to be feared or worshipped or acknowledged or whatever because they don't exist. Because generally, it's kind of funny because, like, religious fundamentalists, like Christian fundamentalists in the U.S. will go on about how, like, the true and original, like, Bible and stuff like that, when, like, most Jewish scholars have sort of, like, said that, like, most of this is, like, allegorical. Like, this doesn't really, like, exist. There's one train of thought, too, that I thought was interesting.
You're fucking telling me. They're like the first people to go, you've misinterpreted this, you know.
But there's also like some, even the more far out like Jewish thinkers, there's one that I saw that the interpretation is that they might have possibly existed in like the distant past when, like, you know, when there were still prophets around. But whatever, like, spiritual connection, like, that, because there aren't really prophets anymore, there aren't any of these other, like, supernatural beings.
Well, to quote one of these supernatural beings, how'd it go? Time is but a door, death is but a window, I'll be back, right? This is Vigo the Carpathian.
What the fuck does that mean?
The Scourge of Moldavia. You ever saw Ghostbusters 2, bro?
No, I don't even understand what that means.
Time is but a door, death is but a window, I'll be back. I don't know. I'm fucking misquoting it. Like, there's no doubt about it. Look it up. Is it death's a window?
Maybe. Jamie, look that up.
Why don't you look that up? Dude, I quoted it perfect. No, it's death is but a door, time is but a window, I'll be back.
What the opinions it means of other-
is that death is just a change into something else. Something different. Something rabbinic.
There are other sort of contemporary authors and thinkers of the sort of period of Judaism. It's not really clear exactly what they believed. Abraham Ibn Ezra states that insane people can see the image of Sarum when they go astray and ascribe to them powers independent from God.
Oh my God.
Okay.
It's not clear, though, from his work if he considered these images of these Sarum as manifestations of actual spirits or if they were just people having delusions.
I'll take B.
Yeah. They're delusional.
Despite all the academic consensus, rabbis disputed that Maimonides denied the existence of demons entirely. He would only, and this is the one too that I was saying about that he would only dispute the existence of demons in his own lifetime, but not that demons had existed once.
So it's like giants as in contemporary thinking, like they don't Dragons. Exist now, but they existed at some
point. Oh yeah, which we'll get to. Our buddies, friends of the pod, the Nephilim, will come up too.
Oh man,
friends of the pod, the spawn. Hi, I'd like to introduce my friend here, the spawn of angel and man, the Nephilim. Hello. Yeah,
I'll be at the next Trump rally.
Hello.
You love them, folks.
Yeah,
you love them. Can't get it.
Tough
Can't
room.
Get enough of them.
Tough room.
Coming,
I know what I'll do. I'll coming, give the voters coming right $1 million in grok.
Now I went. I'm telling you, folks. I went to the 20-foot-tall golden door in Riyadh, and there they were.
Oh my God! See, they had to. What they're doing is they're saying, "My man, Maimonides." He, you know, he left it open for suggestion because if we're going to create this ultimate good, we have to have an ultimate evil, right? So we got to bring these demons back. They're coming back. We're going to have demons 2.0.
It's like in, you know, it's like Lord of the Rings, you know, that was the third age. We're like in the fifth.
Right.
You know, you know, magic has left the world. You know, the elves have crossed over.
Retreated into Valinor.
Yeah. They've because their vain and egos kept Sauron around, and then when Sauron was destroyed, they cast away their rings and left the Middle Earth.
Yep.
Occasionally, there's also a mention of an angel named Satan in the Babylon Talmud.
Who's that? Shaitan? What?
Satan.
Oh, okay.
Shaitan is a Babylonian deity.
Mm-hmm.
Satan, though, does not refer to demons as Satans are still within the service of God.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of how the Bible presents Satan, too, is he still serves God.
Yeah, he's still kind of like, he's kind of like God's, like, one of God's, like, asshole biddle managers.
He's like one of those chatters on Twitch that talk shit but doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about, so you just keep him around as a pet. You know what I'm saying? Because they just like chirping.
I like the Greek version where he just has a bad job. You know? Just like, yeah, Lee, you get the underworld. It's great. He's down like,
man,
there.
Man, shit, I don't yeah. want this goddamn job. Your job sucks, bro.
Hey, yo, Persephone.
Talk to your boy.
Well, yeah, you come down here.
Give me a better gig, man. This sucks, man.
Who fucking cares what your mom? Fuck them with her. Fuck them with her. All right? She's just a pain in the ass. She's cold to everybody. Get it?
I don't know.
She's
I like
the goddess of winter. You get it?
I like to imagine Hades as being like Stavros.
Oh, God.
Dude, yeah, I played the video game Hades, and it was for me, by the way, like 10 out of 10. But I'm going to go ahead and say if Stavros was Hades in that game, it would be like an 11 out of 10.
Oh, man. That'd be perfect.
So the Agadic tales from the Persian tradition describe the Shaddam as the Mazakim, or harmers, and the Ruhin spirits. Hmm. There were also the Lilin, night spirits, the Talain, shade or evening spirits, Tiharir, the midday spirits, and Zafrir, the morning spirits, as well as quote-unquote demons that bring famine, and such as the cause storm and earthquake.
Motherfuckers.
Okay. And according to the Agadic stories, demons were often under the dominion of a king or chief, usually Asmodai.
Ah.
Who is one of, I believe he is one of the demons in the Key of Solomon.
Yeah, he's in the Gosha.
Demons also supposedly enter the body and cause diseases while overwhelming or seizing the victim. To cure such diseases, it was necessary to draw out the evil demons by certain incantations and talismanic performances at which the Essenes excelled. The Essenes were a
Essenes?
Yeah, the Essenes. Yeah. They were a Jewish sect that was still around during the time of Jesus.
Okay.
Josephus, who spoke of demons as quote-unquote spirits of the wicked which enter into men that are alive and kill them, but which could be driven out by a certain root, and that he witnessed such a performance in the presence of the emperor Vespasian and ascribed its origin to King Solomon.
Solomon, creator of the Goetia.
In mythology, though, there were few defenses against Babylonian demons. There was the mythical mace Sharur that had the power to slay demons such as Asag, a legendary Gawu or Edimu of hideous strength, who was like a class of like Babylonian demon.
Okay.
In Kabbalah, demons are regarded as a necessary part of the divine emanation in the material world and a byproduct of human sin.
Yeah, that's why they keep Madonna around.
Madonna and Cher together.
Well, Madonna's into like Kabbalah. It's like a double.
I thought
Cher was too.
Is she really?
I thought so. I thought that's why she looked like she was fucking 30 while she was really like 85 right now.
No, that's because she still got like some of Sonny Bono's generative essence hanging around in a jar. She just soaps up in it. I'll cut that out. That's fucking gross. My God. Well, we are talking about demons, right?
You can keep my laughter there. Oh, demons. I thought you meant that joke was.
I'm leaving that in. Fuck it.
That was excellent.
After they're created as a byproduct of sin, they believe that these demons assume an existence on their own.
That these demons
would attach themselves to the sinner and start to multiply as an act of self-preservation.
Right. Like kind of like if everyone went around wearing a red hat.
That sounds very, very close.
probably.
Your boy Nick Boza last night.
Just no.
Showcasing why Colin Kaepernick should still be a quarterback.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because the man takes a knee after, we've been over this before, the man takes a knee after getting permission to do so, after consulting with like veterans organizations and making sure like what would be the way I could do this protest, or it wouldn't be a big deal, or it wouldn't be as big of a deal, how could I do this respectfully, and so he did that, and it was like, just utterly condemned, and he was blackballed, to use a bad turn of phrase, I guess, but he was completely taken out of the NFL, not allowed to get a job again because he made a political statement on the field, right?
That's disgusting.
And Nick Bosa last night just gets in front of the camera with a gold Make America Great Again hat and, like, does it in the middle of Brock Purdy's interview. Nothing's going to happen.
Incredible.
Nothing's going to happen. He's a white guy.
Incredible.
Fucking bullshit. That's the thing that pisses me off about it, is that it's just a fucking double standard, you know? It's like, you can't even argue that. It's a fucking double standard. If you're going to kick Kaepernick out for that, then kick Bosa out.
Yeah.
He won't do it. Oh, well, Nick Bosa can actually play football. Well, fuck you. Go back to Epcot.
Oh, my God.
Go back to fucking Epcot. You can hang out the fucking around Germany, you dickhead.
Yeah, fuck off.
Medieval Kabbalists also characterized such demons as punishing angels of destruction, and that they were subject to the divine will and do not act independently. So there's sort of a difference.
Like a different creation?
No, that there was sort of like... Because all this is just, like, guys essentially creating, like, fan fiction. Yeah,
it's just making it up as they go along?
Yeah, it's made up.
So it's just sort of like they're talking about demons.
Too strong. They have to be subject to the original forms. Oh, okay. More matzo. We got a lot of work to do here, and he's crazy talking again.
Maybe if we gave him a level 5 shield. There are other demonic entities, as well as some Shadim, that might be considered benevolent. The Zohar classifies them as those who are like humans and submit to the Torah, and those who have no fear of God and are like animals.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. It's Adam Sandler, right? Fuck with the Zohar or whatever.
Zohan. Yeah.
Oh, Zohan? Oh, okay. So where'd I fucking heard Zohar? Is that the name of the genie from Big?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think it's Zoltar.
Fuck.
I thought it was Zoltan.
I'm going to be thinking about this all.
But the Zohar is like the is like one of the like foundational texts in Kabbalah.
Okay.
The sources of demonic influence as well were thought to originate from the Watchers or Nephilim, who are first mentioned in Genesis 6 and are the focus of 1st Enoch chapters 1 through 16 and also in Jubilees 10.
I think the next follow-up from that, I'm just kidding, sorry.
The Book of Jubilees is an ancient Jewish apocryphal text that is comprised of 50 chapters, 1,341 verses, that's only considered canonical by the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church, as well as by Beta Israel, or the Ethiopian Jews.
Where's that? Beta what? Alpha.
Jubilees is considered one of the pseudo-pygrapha by the Eastern Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant churches, meaning that despite the fact that it is apocryphal, like, they do consider it, like, more valid, I guess, than some of the other ones.
Yeah, yeah, pseudo-pygrapha,
And apart from the Beta Israel community, the book is not considered canonical any other denomination of Judaism.
Those beta-ass... betas.
Although the book was well known to early Christians, and we know this because of from the writings of Epiphanius, Justin Martyr, Diodorus of Tarsus, Isidore of Alexandria, Isidore of Seville.
That's a lot of different Isidores, bro.
Isildur.
Yeah, they had invented some new names yet. They only had like 10 of them.
Yeah, it's like Alabama right now in last names. I mean...
Jeff 2.
Eutychius of Alexandria. John Malalas. George Sincellus. And George Kedronos. So, like, a lot of these early, like, Christian theologians... Especially Origen, who's like one of like the big names of like early Christianity.
Oh yeah,
Justin, like they Martyr were familiar too. With this text.
Okay,
Justin Martyr too, I believe.
Yeah, like these are all like the big hitters.
Yeah,
you know these are the highwaymen of like the early Christians.
Right,
I was a writer.
The text was also utilized by the community that collected the Dead Sea Scrolls. We don't really have a complete Hebrew, Greek, or Latin version that is known to have survived, but the Gez version is an accurate translation of the fragments in Biblical Hebrew found in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
The Book of Jubilees presents, quote-unquote, a history of the division of the days of the law and of the testimony of the events of the years, of their weeks, of their jubilees throughout all the years of the world, as the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai when he went up to receive the tables of the law and of the commandment. And this is as revealed to Moses by angels while he was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, you know, dehydration and starvation.
I'm just kidding. You know, it wasn't the sweat lodge. It was just, you know.
No, it was definitely God talking to you for a burning bush.
I've heard about 10 things you guys want to hear. Let's write those down. Say it's God. All right.
Well, he came with the 15 commandments, and he dropped one. He just had the 10.
What was that from?
It was from History of the World.
Yeah, he drops it. And he's like,
oh, that was such a good one. Yes.
The 10 commandments.
Watch his review of the world if you've never seen it. It is fucking incredible.
Don't watch the second one.
I didn't even know there was a second one.
I think it came out a few years ago.
Yeah, it came out a couple years ago. Because that was like the joke was that it was they ruined the whole joke. I think he said that he did intend to make a second one at one point. I'm not entirely sure, but like part of the joke was that there wasn't a part two, that like part one came out and then part two never came out. And the chronology given in Jubilees is based on the multiples of seven. The Jubilee year is the year that follows the passage of seven weeks of years. So seven cycles of sabbatical years, or 49 total years, into which all of time has been divided. Nephilim are seen as the source of sin and evil on earth. They are referenced in Genesis 6:4, before the story of the flood. In Genesis 6:5, though, God sees evil in the hearts of men, and in the Ethiopic Enoch. Refers to Genesis 6, 4 through 5, and provides further description of the story connecting the Nephilim to the corruption of humans. According to the Book of Enoch, sin originates when angels descend from heaven and fornicate with women, birthing giants.
I'm about to say, aren't the Nephilim just giants? Isn't that what they are?
Well, there's sort of like a debate about that when we talked about giants, is that the language in the translation, like, it can be translated as giants, but they're not sure if that means, like, a physical giant, or it means, like, a metaphysical giant. Like, are they just, like, really powerful? Are they
giants of rock, you know.
Yeah.
Stadium.
Or imagine being a woman that's so hot that an angel wants to fuck you.
I mean,
like, that has to be hot on another level.
Yeah. Are we talking about... Angels are we talking around. About... Are they the blue-eyed, ever-loving thing?
Angels have been around a long time. I mean, you probably just have to exist as, you know, receptacle for its maneuvers, you know?
I mean, fair.
That might be the most worst way to pick up a woman, by the way. Just don't walk up to them and say, I want you to be the receptacle of my angelic maneuvers. However,
actually,
if she says yes, I want you to do it and email us
at thetrilateraltroik@gmail.com and tell us how it went.
We're not telling people to use pickup artist style techniques. Like, go into a bar with 200 women and just don't
talk to every single woman in there.
I convinced three real skeezers that I was Nephilim.
The Book of Enoch shows that these fallen angels can lead humans to sin through direct interaction or through providing forbidden knowledge.
Ah, fuck.
Most scholars understand the text that demons originate from evil spirits of the deceased giants cursed by God to wander the earth.
That's how you had to do it, you know? You have to be cursed forever because, you know, when you create an imperfect being and it fucks up a lot, you can't forgive it, you know?
Nope. Nope.
No room in your heart for that, the fact that
The scholar Dale Martin, though, disagrees with this interpretation, arguing that the ghosts of the Nephilim are distinct.
just with all the names you're throwing around, it sounds so, like, plebeian, you know? Ravenna the Fourth and Dale Martin.
I mean, names don't go as hard as they used to.
No, they just
Dale don't. Martin definitely sounds like a guy who qualified in NASCAR.
They only had 10 names, but they all went pretty hard.
Went hard. Like they only had 10. They people, you know,
they really carried their weight. They
what are you answering a football reporter right now?
How did the second half go?
Well, the second half might go a little better because Steve might get a little tired. Stop interrupting me. All right.
just have to do it like the one. I think it was the coach of Alabama. I don't know if you've seen the video where he was doing the press conference, and there were like three people there that always ask him the same question.
Nick Saban.
I don't think it was Nick. I don't think it was Nick Saban.
You like that? Ham
Saban's brother.
Jesus,
but I don't think it was him.
We
it
just
might
lost
have been
our
him.
Two Alabama listeners.
It was him. It was him. Or, yeah. It was one of the SEC coaches. But he just starts off like naming the three people, and he's like, "I know you're gonna." He said like exactly what they were gonna say because they always say it every time, like their criticism of him. And then he just started off like, "I'm just gonna cut you off there. I know you're gonna say that I did this, and I don't think I did that." And he's just gonna, yeah,
yeah. No, that totally sounds like Nick Saban because he was kind of contentious with the reporters for a long time, and he had like the Coke can. Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
I tell him to talk to the Coke can. What the fuck? I'm just here so I won't get fired. The best response ever. I love it. Yeah, they asked like Marshawn all these questions on another interview, and he just kept saying "yep,
yep."
Like, are you gonna answer everything with "yep"? And he looked yep. at her and for like half a second and just goes "yep." Just so good.
The evil spirits, though, would make people sacrifice to the demons, but they were not demons themselves in his argument. He said the spirits are seen in Enoch to corrupt, fall, be excited, and fall upon the earth and cause sorrow.
So, like, me buying Metallica CDs and Sam Goody in the 90s, was that me offering to the demons?
That was you conjuring demons.
That was you praying to Saint Anger.
But I was making offerings.
Stop it, Steven.
No, we don't acknowledge Saint Anger in this podcast. We've been over this. Do we have to stop recording and have a talk?
Yeah, we need to
have a documentary where our psychologist who's tearing the band apart is one of the characters.
We go maybe two or three songs into the Black Album and we stop there, okay? That's it. We don't even get to Enter Sandman. You know why? Fuck that song.
We're gonna have the concert. We're not gonna play any of the old songs people want. We're just gonna play
all
the new stuff.
We're just gonna play Load and Reload. Give me food, give me fun, give me fabba jabba da. Ooh.
And then when people start chanting the songs they want us to play, we refuse to do an encore.
God damn it! Metallica fell off so hard.
And then we have a guy disappeared. We saw recording in the audience.
They couldn't possibly stay hard forever. Like, it's not possible. Even with modern interventions with Cialis and all that, there's no way.
I don't know, man. Like, Rammstein's CD they put out, like, 2 years ago or a year ago
was pretty
solid.
Didn't he just get arrested for, like, sexual assault or some shit?
No, he probably got arrested for punching some dude in the face who sexually assaulted a woman in a bar, because that's what he usually gets arrested for.
No, I think something happened there. There was an accusation. Yeah, I agree with you.
There's always accusations, but Till Lindemann always comes out on top where it's like, dude, I didn't touch a woman. I beat some dude's ass who did touch a woman, though. And then people are like, oh, okay. Remember, he rides around on a 10-foot penis squirting foam into a crowd during his concerts.
Yep.
This man is very, very chill, very laid back. He knows what
laid
time
back.
Like, he's not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say that I can't see him doing it because obviously anybody can be doing it. You know what I mean? But I like to think he wouldn't.
So the Book of Jubilees conveys that that sin occurs when Kanan, who's a figure that only really appears in the Book of Jubilees, though because of its popularity, people like are familiar with him.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He accidentally transcribes astrological knowledge used by the Watchers, and that's sort of like the thing that forbidden knowledge is what corrupts. And this differs from Enoch that it does not place blame on the angels. However, in Jubilees 10:4, the evil spirits of the Watchers are discussed as evil and still remain on Earth to corrupt humans. God binds only 90% of the Watchers and destroys them, leaving 10% to be ruled by Mestema. Because the evil in humans is great, only 10% would be needed to corrupt and lead humans astray. These spirits of the giants are also referred to as the bastards.
These fucking bastards.
In the apotropaic prayer, the songs of the sage, which list the names of demons the narrator hopes to expel.
Apotropaic?
Yeah, apotropaic. To the Qumran community during the second temple
Qumran.
Period. Qumran?
Yeah. That's where they found the Dead Sea Scroll.
This apotropaic prayer was a sign stating, "And I, the sage, declare the grandeur of his radiance in order to frighten and terrify all the spirits of the ravaging angels and the bastard spirits, demons, liliths, owls." And this is from the Dead Sea Scrolls song version of it, lines 4 through 5. Because Lilith is also, she kind of has like the level of a demon in a lot of things, but she's like the first wife of Adam.
As I remember from Diablo 4, Lilith was one of the big baddies. She was one of the big baddies. She was hard to take down. You had to have like a fully leveled barb who could really get in there, do some whirlwind damage, right, and some war cries to debuff her before you could even think about taking her down on hell level.
It's a true story. It's very practical advice, unlike trying to summon a demon, which will never work and has never worked.
The existence of demons largely, though, as inherently malicious spirits within the Old Testament texts is absent. Though there are evil spirits sent by Yahweh, they can hardly be called demons since they serve and do not oppose the governing deity.
Convenient.
But when the Hebrew Bible was translated into Greek, the quote-unquote gods of other nations were merged into a single category of demon, or daimones, with implied negativity.
Okay.
So the term demons comes from this this Greek daimons. They were associated with demi-divine entities, deities, illnesses, and fortune-telling.
Okay.
So when the Jewish translators rendered them all as demons, depicting their power as being nullified, comparable to the description of Shedem in the Tanakh. Although his supernatural powers were
pinned. I was a big fan of Tatanka in the WWE.
I have to tell you, Steve.
He's still jacked, yeah, by the way, and a lot.
Oh no, you're about to get milkshake ducked.
Yeah,
you're about to get milkshake ducked.
There's also credible accusations against him as being a pedophile.
No way, no way, dude.
Alleged.
There it is.
He's undefeated. No way.
Yeah, you fucking. Never mind.
Man,
I'm not even going to say that joke that just came to my mind. Don't know.
Don't.
Nope. Moving along.
So when all of these supernatural powers were translated, none were angels, despite sharing a similar function to that of the Greek daimon. This established a dualism between the angels on God's side and negatively evaluated demons of pagan origin. Their relationship to the Godhead became the main difference between angels and demons, not their degree of benevolence. Both angels and demons might be fierce and terrifying, but angels act always at the service of the high God of the Israelites, differing from the pagan demons who represent the powers of foreign deities.
Okay.
And then the Septuagint refers to evil spirits as demons or daimon.
That was good. Septuagint, yep.
So it's one of those things where as it's sort of like playing this game of like telephone, when it gets to sort of like early Christianity, when they're translating all this stuff, they just sort of make it into sort of like this black and white thing, because I guess it sort of also goes more with you know, like the Christian sort of belief system and then what eventually becomes the New Testament. And we'll talk about that a little bit with Origen, because Origen talks about this, because he sort of got into a writing battle with a with like an ancient Greek philosopher who was opposed to early Christianity.
Did you say a writing battle?
Yeah, where this this Greek scholar Celsus, there's no I in there. Celsus, he was sort of like a Greek, like he didn't like Christianity, and he wrote within the second century, and he was like just sort of talking about like tearing down like Christianity, and Origen was one of like the main writers that like sort of like checked him.
Okay.
Because he was an early, like we were talking about, he's like one of the big names of like early Christianity.
Right.
And so we will pick up with the Christian version of demons. And that'll be our next episode.
Those are the good versions of demons, the Christian versions, because those are the ones that everybody knows from the movies. Those are the ones that everybody knows from the video games. Like, those are the good ones. Those are the OG, the canon demons.
You're giving me the Elaine Pagels treatment over here. I gotta wait till the next fucking part of the book for the good stuff.
Your balls are blue.
All right.
That's how he does it to us every time we got like a multi-parter. He's like, dude, listen, we're going to get the background, the bullshit for out of the way, and then episode 2 and 3 is the fun shit.
No, that was good. Fuck that. it was good. You're right.
You got to get through the slog, man. The juice is worth the squeeze, okay? You got to
get to the good stuff.
You got to get through the background so you can understand and appreciate the good shit.
Pare down and pare down until you get to the fundamental truth that demons cannot be summoned using household items, okay?
If you don't know where the demons came from, how can you appreciate where the demons are today? That's all I'm saying.
If you don't get me at my most demonic, you won't get me at my least demonic. All right.
Good night.
Bye.